accepting the appointment. The case will be taken under advisement. We'll move to the last case, still in the morning, of United States versus LaFleur. Mr. Stuan.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Mark Stuan, counsel appointed to represent Mr. LaFleur in his appeal before the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. In summary, briefly, because the underlying facts are not in dispute, just a few of them. In August of the year 2000 in Pekin, Illinois, Mr. LaFleur and his wife got in an argument upon her telling him that she wanted a divorce. He produced one of two weapons, two firearms that he possessed at that time, and ultimately was charged in a single count indictment in the Central District of Illinois, to which he pled guilty in January of the year 2001. The underlying facts make clear that Mr. LaFleur's possession of the weapons were such that he kept them in a locked case, activated or maintained trigger locks or locks independent or beyond the locked case they were maintained in. Although he possessed some ammunition, the ammunition was kept in a separate container location other than where the firearms were maintained, and that in fact the firearms were unloaded. Following his guilty plea, the district court determined a base offense level of 14, increased by one level for the number of firearms involved, gave Mr. LaFleur a reduction for acceptance of responsibility with a criminal history category of 4 at a base offense level of 13. The range was 24 to 30 months, and a sentence of 24 months was imposed. Our argument in summary is as follows, and that is that the court committed error in not applying United States Guideline Section 2K2.1B2, what I'll refer to in shorthand fashion as the lawful purpose component of the possession of firearms. And secondly, that in ruling or considering on the number of firearms issue, the district court essentially improperly shifted the burden of proof to the defendant.
Yeah, but he brought it up, didn't he? And at what point did he tell him, yeah, I had another one, but I sold it?
It was certainly at least mentioned in his interview with the probation office, and there's some indication that he may have mentioned it as well to officers sometime after the arrest and prior to his guilty plea. The fact that he brought it up, though, Your Honor, does not change, in our opinion, the language or what we would argue is a tantamount shifting of the burden of proof by the district court, which was essentially as follows, I believe.
Well, they went, and once they had that information, they went and verified it, right, with the purchaser?
It was verified.
Yeah, so what burden is not met?
That when the district court indicated, I believe there is evidence, or at least enough for me to draw an inference, that you possess all three weapons at one time, then went on to say, but there's nothing in the record to convince me otherwise, mm-hmm. and would suggest to you right. that essentially was a shifting of the burden to the defendant, saying you have to convince me that there weren't three.
Even if he didn't deny it or anything else.
Your Honor, and I would recognize, the defendant recognizes that issue essentially falls by the wayside depending on the court's determination about the base offense level under the lawful purpose, because the number of firearms is not an issue at that point.
Could I focus on that then? Because looking at the guideline, B2, it doesn't just stop by saying he possessed the ammunition and firearms solely for lawful sporting purposes or collections. It goes on to say, and did not unlawfully discharge or otherwise unlawfully use such firearms or ammunition. And the district court here found that his attempts to thrust this gun into the hands of his wife and say, kill me, and intimidating her was, in fact, far beyond, you know, simply carrying the gun across the room or anything. He was using the gun in a very intimidating and frightening way, and the district court, maybe without putting it in so many words, I think found that he did unlawfully use it otherwise, and thus he wasn't entitled to this particular adjustment. How can that be clearly erroneous?
But, Your Honor, I suggest and submit that certainly that 2K2.1B2 is drafted and can be, perhaps should be read in that fashion, and that is, one, did the defendant possess the ammunition or firearms for a lawful purpose? And I submit to you that that's not challenged here, that the government did not challenge it, nor did Judge Mim indicate that he didn't believe that the defendant possessed the weapons for a lawful purpose. And, in fact, as you indicated, then the guideline also says, and did not unlawfully discharge or unlawfully use the weapon. Again, as indicated below, there was no argument that there of any discharge, so that part
right,
of it comes
a use,
out.
Right, it's a use issue, but it surely to intimidate someone isn't like going out for target practice.
The court is right. I mean, at least implicitly, if not explicitly, in some respects, based on argument made by defense counsel, the phrase that was the focus was, or otherwise unlawfully used.
Mm-hmm.
The guidelines indicate that there are a number of factors to consider in deciding the application of this. One of those is the location, circumstances of possession, and the actual use. We submit that in this instance, it was not an unlawful use. It may have been a stupid use.
It's not against the law to give someone a gun to theoretically at least enable them to kill somebody.
We submit that it was error on the part of the court to determine that this was an unlawful use in the totality of the circumstances under which that dispute took place. It was not loaded. She did not take.
Couldn't have done it anyway. So
well,
that's the theory.
Yeah. The argument is that we are submitting is that it was not that it was error to determine that was an unlawful use. Certainly, we can spin out hypotheticals or what ifs in terms of clear instances where an unlawful use would be appropriate. You know, an armed robbery of a bank, of course.
The wife didn't know it was unloaded. That's a fact here.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear
the wife did not know it was unloaded.
There is support in the record for that proposition, yes, Your Honor. As I indicated, we submit that in this instance, the first part of what had to be determined was in fact determined, and that is that Mr. LaFleur possessed these weapons for lawful purpose. There's no indication that it was discharged, and so it comes back to the unlawful use. We submit that it was error on the part of the court to determine under these facts that this constituted an unlawful use. Therefore, it was error not to apply 2K2.1B2. Therefore, we would ask that the court remand this opinion to the district court for resentencing.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chambers.
May it please the court, Mr. Stewon. Your Honors, Tate Chambers for the government. To begin with the argument that counsel began with, Judge Mim did not shift the burden of proof to the defendant. He simply told the defendant what he believed the facts to be and offered the defendant an opportunity to rebut those facts. The defendant chose not to do that. The defendant said, no, we don't think this is a factual issue. We're going to go ahead and argue it as a legal issue. That's all that was. That wasn't a shifting. With respect to the 2K2.1B2 enhancement, or the idea of for the reduction, the language is solely for lawful sporting purposes. And as Judge Mim found here, these weapons were used for other purposes than lawful sporting uses. They were used first to anger the wife. If the court remembers the transcript, what happened was the wife lit up a cigarette. They were in the middle of this fight. She said she wants a divorce. The wife lights up a cigarette, and he takes the gun out to make her mad. Then he uses the gun to intimidate her, to frighten her. And we think that that clearly takes it outside the realm of solely used for lawful sporting use. We ask that you affirm the sentence. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks. Did you want to add anything?
Any questions from the panel? I have no further arguments to submit.
Apparently not. The case will be taken under advisement. That completes the arguments for today. The court will be in recess until further notice.